Okay. Thank you very much for your time. Giusto, thank you very much for inviting me. How are you? And it's wonderful to be here. I've spoken a couple times in Asia, but never in front of a European audience. So thank you very much. I know it was not easy to get here, but thank you very much. And so basically today I'm going to talk about a product that our company developed for the sports betting industry. And I just wanted to also mention, I did want to thank this young lady as well, because it was actually during a meeting with Giusto that I mentioned predictive analytics is being used by a lot of World of Warcraft or League of Legends kind of developers. And I mentioned that there were these games in which young men or women were playing and they'd be faced with a woman such like this. And I think I mentioned that she was a dwarf a knife-wielding dwarf or something like that. And I think the language was quite colorful, that Giusto thought, okay, he might be interesting to talk at this event. So hopefully I will be able to interest you. And I want to also say, if you have any questions, please feel free to throw up your hand or contact someone as I go through this. I'm personally not a developer, but I am the managing director of Qualix Asia Limited, which is a software consulting company that we do a lot of work with the casinos, mostly in Macau, mostly in Asia. And we also do work with cruise lines, where in Asia they're mostly floating casinos. And we also do some work with some sports betting companies, one in Macau and one in Australia. And so we've also talked to most of the casinos in the region as well, most of the sports books in the region as well. So we kind of understand it's a very unique situation because a lot of these companies have monopolies in their environment. So someone in Hong Kong is not allowed to bet on can't bet on the Macau slot, which is the sports book there. They can't bet in Singapore, they can't bet in Taiwan. So it's basically an industry that is doesn't have to be very consumer friendly. However, we thought a product such as BetWatch would actually help them understand their customers to the point where they could give odds that were much better than they currently are, and also create a much more of a risk management, make it much better for them to understand their bottom line. So BetWatch was initially designed by our chief analytics architect, who actually got a PhD he convinced Swinburne University to give him a PhD in odds prediction. So he was actually checking the odds for the Australian rules football and whether you should take them or not. So he actually does have a PhD also in statistics and mathematics, but he had been working with working within the sports betting industry in Australia for about, I don't know, 15 years, all the way from taking bets at the track to developing models to, he did quite well last year with women's netball apparently. So he builds models to beat the sports books. And he came up with BetWatch as a risk management, customer engagement, and a fraud problematic gamblers solution. So the problems that we hope to solve. And these, having worked in the casino industry, there's a lot of crossover here. There's a lot of crossover in most industries. Basically, we are hoping to increase cross-selling, upselling opportunities, reducing customer churn, increasing revenue per customer, identifying the true value of the customer, understand the customer buying journey, as well as novelty detection. Now, in the casinos, novelty detection would be things like the points, two sides of a Baccarat's a game where you could have two people, one person playing banker, one person playing player, and they can cancel each other out. Basically, one is paying the other each time, but they're both banking up points. So the casinos then have a problem to, do they want to pay out points to people who are just banking up the points and not really earning the casino any money? The similar things can happen in the, you know, some of these sports books do have whole casinos, online casinos as well. So that's something that we thought was important here too. So we are a partner with SAP, and we pitched the idea to them. They actually liked the idea. It was a little different from most of what they get in the insurance side of things or ERP stuff. So they agreed to do it. They gave us about $1,000 in AWS credit. They gave us, more importantly, gave us a lot of help, basically building the solution. It was built on HANA, so it's a powerful in-memory solution. We did find it's a tricky solution to work with. SAP is a tricky software to work with. We actually, if you will see from the dashboards that there's the SAS logo on there, and we had such a problem getting SAP HANA to talk to Lumira that we ended up building it on SAS Visual Analytics. So that might tell you how those products are a bit tricky working together. So basically what BetWatch does is it segments patrons into two types, profitable and non-profitable. The solution is attempting to figure out the gambler's level of skill as well as his effect to the bottom line. It does have iteration one has five dashboards. This is the performance dashboard. And here, I'll explain later how we came up with the segments, but this is basically the five segments that were created when we built the model. So this is data that did actually come from a real sports book, but the sports book was not doing that well, and it did go out of business a few years after this data. This data was from 2009, and there is an interesting anomaly here where you can actually see that was the year where they had the Italian match-fixing scandal, and actually you could see some questionable bets going on in the data, and I will explain later on how we use some fraud detection as well. So as you can see, segment four is really the only segment that was winning for the house, and that's a pretty bad situation. We do break it down by turnover, and the actual solution does have drill down functionality, so you can go into segment zero, as I'll show you later, segment one, turnover by segment, so you can actually drill down into where the money is being spent, what games people are betting on, and whether they're winning or losing. So it was actually an Australian sports book, and there's a lot of American sports that are being bet here, obviously American football, basketball, ice hockey, soccer. American sports are very popular in Australia because the timing is actually very good. It happens very early in the morning for them, and they like to play games at work sometimes, it seems like. So, and then we also have the profit by bet type, which is the far one, the bottom on the right. And this breaks it down by Asian handicap, coupon, point spread, under, over. These will just be the most popular four. We could add more if we wanted to later on. So this is actually the individual gambler's customer history screen. So for every single gambler in the database, we do create this dashboard. The top metrics is probably the most important metrics in a sports book in most businesses, ROI. This particular gambler was spending $20,953 and making a profit of $5,536. The red here is profit to the gambler. Green would be profit to the sports book. So this particular gambler would be someone who's taking the sports book for quite a bit of money. This would be a person that the sports book would look at, and maybe they don't want his bets, and maybe they can shut him down. Or maybe they certainly don't want to send any bonus bets to him, but as you'll see later on, there may be ways to hedge his betting. And we believe no sports book should get rid of their gamblers. There's a company called Pinnacle Sports, which actually does believe that too. And it makes it difficult for the bookmaker to keep the odds and make money, but it's actually better because it makes you a bit stronger and makes your, I believe it strengthens the sports book's business. So this also, this can drill down from the old bet hierarchy down into this guy. We're just looking at his soccer bets, and these are specifically the under-over soccer bets. So We can see from here, as many of you who watch the European leagues, he likes to bet on Spanish, English, Italian, and French premier top leagues, La Liga, Premier League, the German Bundesliga too. And this is all valuable information because this is, the green one is obviously a big bet that he made that he lost, Grenoble-Lyon. Lazio Cagliari is one that he actually did well on. And it looks like he does quite well on, well, I guess it's all over the place. But he doesn't do too badly on the Spanish leagues. And this would be in the risk management department, the ability to set thresholds. So when someone from segment two comes in this case, you could, if you set a threshold for, let's say, $10,000, As long as the risk was never up to $10,000, bets will be taken. But once someone comes in from segment two, which is a difficult and a bad segment for us, and tries to make a $12,000 bet, the risk management department would be alerted, and they would have three options. One, they could take the bet. Two, they could take part of the bet. Or three, they could just reject the bet outright. Now, BWIN Party does use in-memory technology, and they were able to go from accepting 15,000 bets a second to, I think it was 150,000. No, it was 12,000 bets per second to 150,000. So if any of you have bet during a match, you'll know that I do some betting on Macau slot, and there is a delay sometimes of 30 seconds to a minute, basically because they're worried that if the ball is in the penalty area, then they stop the betting. So there is someone sitting there watching the game, and then he'll put a pause on acceptance of bets. So something like this actually could work, and it could actually empower the sports book to not take bets that might put it in a very difficult position. And if you hold on, and if you don't think that can happen, I'll show you an example of actually one that did, that BetWatch would have been good for. So multi-leg parlays, I'm not sure if you know what they are, but I'm pretty sure you do. But they're becoming very popular because it's a way to bet small, but win 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 legs of bets and actually see some substantial payoffs. It's a very popular bet in Africa, and it's a difficult bet, or it's a difficult situation in Africa because, unlike European and American sports books, you would open an account, you would fund it from your bank account or your credit card. But in Africa, they have local branches. So anyone who hits big on a parlay will go in and want to get his money. And they had a couple situations where a couple sports books did almost go under because some long shots came in, and it was not a good scene. But earlier this year, there was actually, I don't know if you know UFC, but it's become bigger than boxing these days, I think. It's a mixed martial arts sport. And it's become a very popular sport to bet on as well. So they actually had, there were 11 fights on the card, and the last 10 were all won by the underdogs. So the sports book lost $1 million. And lost $1 million on maybe 10 or 20 bets. There was one bettor who had a $4 all underdog parlay that paid $85,000. Another one had four $1 parlays that paid $25,000. Later on in the article, the guy from Bovada says, if we don't have a good Manny Pacquiao fight, we're going to lose money. So $1 million is quite a bit of money, even to a sports book that's turning over quite a bit. But I just wanted to show you what happened with the card. So I just had the 10 legs that came in. But if you look, so in the U.S. they do the plus 160. But decimal wise and fractional wise, that'll give you a sense of what the odds are. Obviously, you can have ties in, but it's very rare in UFC. But if you look, the odds really were not that great. 8-5, that's the long shot. 3-2, the highest one was, 47-20, something like that. So it's not a huge amount of odds. or a huge payout. However, when you start looking at the payouts, you'll see that as the sports book was getting to the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, and then it goes exponential at that point. So, however, had they had something like BetWatch and been able to understand the risk on these matches that were coming up, then they would have been able to actually go out into the market and start offering better odds than what would have been available out in the market. They could have probably even gone to Betfair and sold off a bunch of, and as the Cesar Ferreira match came in, or was about to start, they started at 250, why not go down or raise the odds up to 200, or negative 200, I should say. That one, when the long shot wins that one, then maybe you get more generous with Edson, and up until the final match. But because they didn't have any sense of their risk, they really didn't know what to do, and they hoped, and they ended up getting hit with $1 million. We think that, and of course, not every UFC's, that's a very rare example. So, but why not have it so that you understand the risk of all of the levels, of all of the games, all of the matches, as they're ending? Because in-play betting is one of the most popular types of betting these days. So there's the most bets that you're going to get on these is going to come in right before the bets, right before the fight starts. So BetWatch actually does give you the visibility on your the amount of risk and exposure you have on each leg of parlay betting. So so the other side of BetWatch is the real-time customer engagement that we wanted to include. There is so much going on right now in terms of real-time work within it's the big thing for all of the software vendors that we work with. I know 7 years ago we were hoping to do some real-time stuff in the casino industry, and they were basically hoping that people could be on a slot machine and lose, they'd be losing a lot of money, and then the slot machine would actually be able to go in and look at their patron data, and as they reach their typical Theo threshold, say they, over the course of a weekend, would gamble away $10,000, let's say 10,000 Hong Kong, so that when, if they sat down at a slot machine and gambled that $10,000 in a few hours, then the slot machine would actually be able to kind of maybe not tell them to stop, but give them an offer to go take a bite, a bite to eat at a restaurant, let's say. Or they would have hosts approach the people and say, why don't you step away? We'll give you an upgrade of your room or something like that. And the technology about 7 years ago just wasn't there. In this day and age, it is here now. So, and when it comes to real time, there's really nothing more, there's no better or faster way to connect with people these days than with social media. So we wanted to include a social media element with BetWatch that goes into or keeps track of what people are saying, doing, and understanding, or we could have a customer service calls that are going in between Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, perhaps. Twitter is an interesting one because the 89% of the mentions across the sportsbook industry are tweets, so it is actually a very, very popular brand. And basically, we found that sports and odds was what most people were doing. Bonuses and promotion, which was about 6%, and affiliates and partners down there was 0.5%. And I actually used Velo to do a dive into Twitter the other day, and it was interesting to see. For Ladbrokes, the biggest retweeted tweet was an affiliate marketer actually sending a link to his Ladbrokes or to the Ladbrokes account with his bonus number on it. So if this person signed up through that tweet, then this guy would be getting money for every dollar that he lost. So I think sports books would be good to keep an eye on that, and sometimes they're not quite... these people are being a bit deceitful out there, I believe. But anyway, there's obviously Twitter has a very good way to send out a tweet directly to the users. And in this case, I wanted to, you know, with BetWatch, you'll pull in your VIP players, and then you can set up the direct messages through Twitter. And this one would be like Cesar Ferreira will give you minus 200 if you bet on the UFC Fight Night 61 now before we rumble. So that was a very good way, I think, to connect directly with your customers. Snapchat actually did something very clever about a year and a half ago. I'm sure you know Snapchat, basically messages that disappear after a certain amount of time. And they called this self-destructing odds. So BetWatch, you could basically create your list of people, and you could then, you could then send out tweets. Or what Snapchat did was they made an offer for some two Premier League games, and basically anyone who was following the company's official Snapchat account, which was Betfair Official, they sent images that contained a custom URL. When they clicked on the URL, they were actually offered better odds than they would have got through the normal channels. So, and they made the offer to only 500 people, but because it's a very, very, I don't know what how much time they gave, but with Snapchat, these messages destruct pretty quickly. So you have the ability to look at the risks that you might have on one side, and then fire off or make these offers, and along the way, maybe you can do other offers, maybe at halftime or within the last 10 minutes of a game or something like that. So Facebook is interesting too. When we were talking to SAP, they did have an interesting module called the Customer Experience Management Module, which is CEM. And you know, most people think there's not much value to a like, but the reality is there is. You know, you can, but on the flip side, for a sports book, if they can go in and look at the Facebook data and actually see what someone is liking and what someone, you know, say I like Stoke, say I like the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, all of that is very important information for me to come and to understand, especially for the marketing side of things. You know, the big thing about what we wanted to do with BetWatch, or what we want to do with BetWatch, is to actually get it so that you can make offers that people are going to want to use, and make offers that will be what they are consistently losing on. So, and I know that sounds bad, but if you go back to that tree map, you will see that there's, you know, bettors are like everyone else. They're creatures of habit, you know. I like to go to the horse races in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Jockey Club. It's a wonderful experience, and they have a lot of good bets, a lot of interesting, very, once again, small bets, huge payoffs. So if what we thought would be interesting for the sports book would be if you were able to offer bets that people wanted, hopefully bets that they consistently lost on, because then you actually had the power to offer bigger bets. And the whole thing about the sports betting industry is it's an industry with very, very little loyalty. People aren't really that interested in, you know, I don't care if I make my bet at Ladbrokes. I don't care if I make my bet at Bet365. I want the biggest bonus that I can get. So we said here, why don't we understand the gambler in such a way that we can actually give them a bigger bonus, because we think they're probably have a high propensity to lose these bets. So we did think, and you know, once again, with Facebook, it was a way to glean more and more information. Facebook does have the Messenger bots coming now as well, which could be useful in a way to, if someone wanted to know what the odds were, to actually feed that information to them. WeChat is not something too used here in Europe, but it's a big one in Asia. One of the problems, one of the difficulties with advertising gaming in China is the Chinese government just doesn't allow you to market about casinos. But there's still a massive Chinese community all over the world that does use this. There's a story of someone who sold, I think, a $10 million apartment in New York because they advertised it on WeChat, and some guy from Beijing came and basically snapped it up. Weibo is another Chinese one that is interesting. It's like the Twitter of China. And these will become important because of what I'm talking about, because of this. So basically, kind of back to the beginning of the story, an interesting movement in the gaming industry right now is the esports. So I don't know if any of you are too familiar with it, but just the other day, Amazon, which owns Twitch, which is a live streaming portal, kind of like YouTube, but more live streaming of games and stuff like that. The other day, they actually started the Hearthstone, which is a game that a lot of people are playing these days, and playing against PokerStar players. So one of the things one does in Macau, I live in Macau, is you start associations. The government likes you to do that. So I started an analytics association and an esports association. So we're going to try to bring events like this to some of the casinos. But there are... Twitch is wonderful because it has live streaming gaming going on next to people commenting about it. So once again, it's a way to find people that might be interested in your product, in your... in your sports betting, let's say. Of course, you want to do that. You need to be very careful with it. But there is an association that actually is purely for gambling on esports. So I don't know if any of you play League of Legends, but you can also gamble on League of Legends, Dota, Halo, I think, somewhere. And once again, this steps into... YouTube, let me run through that. So with every sport, there is the ability to people to cheat. The laws are not that strident right now. They are, you know, you get banned for life, but a lot of times you don't go to jail. There are systems out there right now. There is a provider of odds that does actually, they give odds for, I think, 60,000 games a year, and every sports book will team up with them because not all sports books have enough people to do odds for every single game. So, but what this provider wants in return is the final odds of each match and all the changes. So they actually go in and actually we'll look at the odds and see if some strange things are going on. Because let's say you have 5 to 10 minutes left in the game, let's say half an hour left in the game, and normally odds, they get higher and higher because there's less and less time. They get lower and lower because there's less time in the game. But the anomaly would be on, I guess it would go higher. So because there's less time, if there's less time, they would be higher. But if they drop down suddenly, then someone actually might know something and the fix might be in, and the players may have been told to not play so hard towards the end of the game because they want a goal to be scored. So this system is actually doing that. BetWatch doesn't tap into that because that's already a system that's out there. What we do, however, is we did create a patron matching list, which we actually created for the casinos. The specially designated nationals list is a list that the U.S. Treasury Department provides to to anyone who wants it, basically. But it's to catch anti-money laundering and fraud. So what we did is we created an app, ClickSense, to have a casino or have a sports book cross-reference and see whether those people. And they had any of their people were actually on this list. Now, we know this list is filled with people who have AKAs, but we actually are talking to NCR about adding a facial recognition element. So anyone who goes into a casino and gets a player card does actually get scanned. Anyone who gets arrested obviously gets scanned as well. So we're going to add that element to it, and perhaps some biometrics later on as well. But this is an example of the patron list. And then one last thing, there are certain countries that are very prone to questionable activity. So what BetWatch is able to do is actually drill down and see where those people are gambling from. So a sports book like Singapore Pools, they have to be, they open their odds very, very bad for the gambler, because one, they know they have a monopoly, but two, they know as the game approaches, most of the money will come in over the last few hours, and they actually are known as such a hotbed of illegal activity that no other sports book in the world will take their action. So they can't lay off their bets to anyone. So what we wanted to do was actually to have an ability to look at where the bets were coming in from. And if you had a bet, let's say, on a German second division team that was coming in from Malaysia or Singapore or somewhere in Russia, that could be a flag. Obviously, that may be too much of a generalization, but it is known as a bit of a questionable place. So, and we also teamed up, actually in Singapore, this is another one that we did team up with. Singapore has a interesting, the government is very interested in of stopping fraud and stopping blacklisted people, basically. So what we were doing with a partner down there was, he was working in the maritime security, and he has access to the Singapore blacklist. So what we wanted to do was take that list and not only go into Facebook and Twitter and social media to try to find out anyone who was associated with him, but also go into the government records of anyone who might be associated with a company that they were associated with. So it's, you know, a lot of people do some interesting stuff through companies, and to see all of the stockholders involved, it's an interesting way to actually catch some stuff. There was an interesting case in Singapore where a guy who was a lawyer ended up stealing a bunch of his client's money, and because he had power of attorney, he was able to do that. So we wanted to add that to the to BetWatch as well. So that is about it. If you have any questions. Hope it was very clear.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
As I said, I didn't do a demo. If any of you are interested, I will. We're in the process of getting it onto Velo and onto Datamere. But if you're interested, you know, we can definitely do more of a demo. If you're interested and you have any questions on what we were doing, how we were doing, what was the coding, we have Don, who will gladly answer questions for you. He's doing some work for Ladbrokes right now. And we also have the team in Manila who is involved as well. So, and they can, if you're familiar with HANA, or if you've done any work with it, or if you're interested, they can help you on that as well. So,
thank you very much.